Of the Lord. Amen. What a drastic change from last weekend to this weekend. And quite a contrast, isn't it? We had Sister Sharon Ward's service here on Wednesday night. And I tell you what, it was a funeral service. But yet it wasn't actually a funeral service. It was church. It was good. Did you enjoy what we heard from this pulpit on Wednesday night? The contrast of two dimensions. I tell you what, there's happiness on the other side. We certainly want to pray for the Ward family tonight, Brother Rocky and all the children, Sister Daisy Rice, Sister Sharon's mother. Just want to remember all those folks in prayer, that the Lord would just wrap His arms around them and hold them real tight and keep them close to Him. This is a sad time in their life, but you know what? It's not going to be too many more nights and days that we're all going to be together. Are you glad about it tonight? Turn around, shake somebody's hand. You may want to introduce yourself to ever who you're standing beside of. Play some more of that, guys. Let's say a little bit more of that tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in church. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit tonight while we look at our prayer request. We'll remember Sister Sherry Wiggins in prayer. Homesick, needs healing in her body, so let's remember her tonight. I want to pray for Sister Joy Holmquist. She's been sick for about 2 weeks with bronchitis, so let's remember her tonight as we pray that the Lord will be mindful. And Brother Danny Therese sends this in for a Debbie Severt. I hope I got that name close to right. She's 58 years old, and the doctors cannot find out why she is losing blood. So let's pray for that tonight. The Lord knows all about that need. Brother Baker says to please remember our family. My nephew passed away. His testimony was that he received the Holy Ghost a little while back. So we praise the Lord for that testimony, don't we? Amen. I want to pray for Sister Donna Pistol. Fell and hurt herself, so let's remember her tonight as we pray. Brother Kevin Keith says this in, my brother-in-law's brother was killed in a four-wheeler accident recently. He was 48 and had wife and children, so let's remember that family tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be with them during this time of their life. And all our folks in the church that's sick, need healing in their bodies. We may not call their names all the time, but they're certainly in our thoughts and on our hearts, and we want to remember them. Sister Lisa Vaughn and family offers this testimony tonight. Just want to thank the Lord for watching over Maya yesterday after she swallowed a quarter and it lodged in her throat. She was transported to the Children's Hospital in Johnson City, where the surgeon told me that they would have to do surgery to remove the quarter. We had already prayed with her and knew that others were praying as well. 15 minutes after being taken back for surgery, the doctor came back and said as soon as they had her asleep, they looked into her throat and the quarter was right there. They were able to pull it right out without surgery. I give all the glory to God for keeping our little one safe. Praise the Lord. Amen. Says the outcome could have been a lot different if he hadn't come on the scene. So they certainly want to thank the Lord for that testimony. That little child she's just a lovely little child, and we appreciate, honey, next time swallow a dime. If you're going to swallow money, swallow something real little. Praise the Lord. Don't swallow nothing at all if you can help it. Amen, money-wise. Now, this announcement, listen up, if you're a parent of a small child, please have parents to remind their children to be very careful around the elevator. Everybody knows where that's at, out front out here. After church, there have been some very close encounters where the children could have been injured very seriously by getting too close to the elevator. So please remember that. Watch your children. And if you're elderly and you're walking under that canopy after church, hold on to whatever you can hold on to, because some of them will run slam over you and kill you. I'm telling you the truth. They'll run you over. They're kids. They love to play. They've got so much energy. They got to get rid of it, but they'll kill you. I'm just telling you. Be real careful if you're old. Be real careful. Greg, you be real careful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you glad you're a Christian tonight? Are you glad you love the Lord better than everything in this world? Does He mean everything to you? You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother Randall Gisendanner, come tonight. Take us to the Lord. As we stand, let's just commit these things unto the Lord as we pray. Give Him all the thanks and the glory for what He has done for us. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's just bow our heads this evening. Eternal Father, it's truly an honor and privilege to be in your house this evening, Lord. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, Lord, your blessings, keeping us safe on the highway as we travel, Lord. Bringing us to your house, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, to bring our little licks of fire together, Lord, and to give you honor and glory and praise, Lord. We bring these needs before you, Lord, that Brother Louis has mentioned, Lord, that I hold in my hand, Lord, and I know you're mindful of each and every one, Lord. Because you're that kind of God, Lord. You're a wonderful Father to us, Lord. We thank you for being what you are, Lord. Our very present help in trouble, Lord. Our strong tower, Thank you, Lord, for all that you are to us. I pray you bless the remainder part of this service, Lord. Anoint our brother as he breaks the bread of life, Lord, and speak to each and every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ray. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. How many of you want to be your best tonight? How many of you want to do your best tonight? Now, we know Brother Donnie's going to come out here just in a little bit and preach and bring the word of the Lord, and I believe he studied. He will do his best tonight. These musicians on the platform, we are so blessed to have these quality musicians that we have. Amen. Amen. And I do believe that they do the best that they can every time they come up here. So now, as all of that's been said, you as a member of this assembly or a visitor, you're a Christian, you need to be the best you can be tonight. Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus didn't halfway die for you. Jesus didn't halfway give you hope. He gave you all hope. He died an agonizing death for you and for me. We owe him our best. You owe him your best tonight. Whatever it is, you give it to him and make it your best. Will you do that? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Sometimes hallelujah. Sometimes praise the Lord. Sometimes gently singing. Our hearts in one accord. Oh, sometimes
Cindy and Sister Ann, if you'll come onto the platform, let's sing this little chorus while they're getting ready to sing for us tonight. I'm so glad
I've crossed over the line. Are you glad about that tonight? Ain't no turning back. Ain't nothing to turn back to, is there? I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Yes, now I'm so glad I crossed over the line. So glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I was traveling along the back roads, headed in the wrong direction. Satan surely had my soul lost and bound. Through God's love and mercy, His grace turned me around. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Give our singers a nice hand tonight. You can be seated. God bless you.
Times I've heard it as a shout of praise. Three little words sung with joy from someone so amazed. Yet every now and then I hear it from a broken heart of faith, spoken with a whisper. As tears are wiped away, and it stills my breath to hear them say, God is good, God is good. When life doesn't go like you. Oh.
going to sing a little chorus tonight. I don't know. I'm sure they don't have it on the board. But Brother Andrew had sent it to Brother Donnie. And Brother Donnie had sent it to us. And we're going to try to sing it tonight. Let's stand to our feet as we get ready to go on into the preaching of the Word of the Lord. We're going to make this journey somehow. You know that? You're going to make it somehow. Now you can come, if your name's on the book, we've got two choices. We can come willingly, or we'll get drug in. But if your name's on the book, you're going. Is that right? How many of you want to go peaceably? I want to go as an obedient son, don't you? But we're going to make this journey somehow. I mean that. You believe it with all your heart, you're going to make it. Don't matter what the devil tells you. He's nothing but a liar. He takes the truth and turns it into a lie. He stretches everything beyond and above whatever it really is. Your problems are so small tonight in comparison with a lot of other people's. You got no troubles. We got no troubles. We're on a journey and we're going to make it somehow. Do you believe it? Somebody say praise the Lord. That's a little bit low, probably. We're gonna make this journey somehow. We're gonna make this journey somehow. The devil is on a track. He's trying to turn us back. We're gonna make this journey somehow. Yes, now we're gonna make this journey somehow.
Believes it?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to make it. We're not survivors. We're overcomers. Overcomers. Oh, ain't it been good to be in church tonight? I told Carol one day this week, I'm so church sick. She kind of looked at me funny. I said, like homesick, you know, homesick. I'm so church sick to be able to get there and just worship and hear the word and sing. And I know we're strange and we're really weird. We enjoy going to church. We don't get to go. Amen. My work, my whole week is worked around church. Whenever we don't get to go to church, my calendar's messed up, my week's messed up, my mind is messed up. I'm really messed up and I don't get to go to church. Some of y'all looking at me and thinking, what is the matter with him? I'm messed up. And if you don't feel that way, you're messed up. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Let's look again tonight by the help of the Lord at an overcomer. Amen. In the galleries. I trust that every one of us here present will be found at that great gallery that day. Actually, if we get to it, with the help of the Lord, when you read Hebrews chapter 11, what you're reading is a gallery of overcomers. I hope this don't choke you. But if we were living 2,000 years ago, this church would be written in the New Testament. Not just ours, but every other true church. Instead of being the church of Corinth and the church of Thessalonica, it'd be the church in Evening Light Tabernacle and the church at Happy Valley. Hang with me now. I'd have been one of them men's names mentioned in the book. Brother Tim would have been. I mean, lots of our comrades in the gospel. Come on, children, don't let that choke you. We are a New Testament church. Praise the Lord. You say, oh, you're bragging? I'm bragging on what he's done. There ain't nothing about us. Amen. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that we got that kind of a God that's living among us, that we're a New Testament church? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. I done talked away 15 minutes of my time. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. The word overcometh there is actually present tense. It's implying a continuous battle. Notice it didn't say overcome or overcame and it's finished, but overcometh the world. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh ongoing the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, he said, Brother Don, there's all kinds of people that believe that, not the way John wrote it. No. Now, the way the English version makes it sounds like anybody that just believes he's the Son of God, that's it. But as we know, there's generally more to it than that. Let's bow our heads together, shall we? And we'd like to be remembered before the Lord tonight. You've got a need, a request. Heavenly Father, we count it such an honor that we can bow our heads and come in your divine presence and call you Father. Lord, how we love you. We thank you we could have church tonight, Lord, to be able to assemble ourselves together. We love you, Lord Jesus, so much. You've done so much for every one of us. We failed you in so many ways, and yet you love us just the same. Father God, we're asking you now that you would help us as we approach your word. We've assembled ourselves not just to see one another, though that is good. We miss one another when we don't get to see each other. But yet, Lord, that's not the main reason we've come tonight. We've come for help. Help in our souls, help in our bodies, in our spirits, in our minds. We're asking you that you'd speak to us, Lord. Take your word, Father, and anoint me and help me to get out of the way and anoint the people. Lord Jesus, you see this handkerchief that I have in my hand. Lord, you know this need that it represents. Dear God, it's an urgent thing. And I'm asking you tonight, Father, in Jesus' name, that you'd move on behalf of our sister. This thing is nothing compared to the power of God. I pray, Lord, that you would just move. How many things have we seen and heard you do just this week of how great you are, how your power is? Come by this way tonight, Lord, would you? Speak to us, to your word, to our hearts. Make our hearts fertile ground as it was, that the seed can be applied. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I love this term, born of God. It's unusual to John alone. Peter, James, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Nobody else in the New Testament uses these terms, born of God. It's a very emphatic term. It's a term that John uses in about five different places in his epistle. Beautiful. It signifies that a person has had a birth from God himself, and that they have traced back their origin actually to him. So they are truly born of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, he says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." Now, this word commit is that he does not make sin his trade or his business. This is not what he does for a living. He cannot commit sin because he's born of God. So this is not his trade or his business or what he does. Now, as a child of God, the human part going to make mistakes? Are we going to fall short of the glory of God? Absolutely. But that is not our trade. Our trade is righteousness. Our trade is purity. Our trade is him. That's exactly right. So whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. He says, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin. That's the part, of course, that is born of God, because he is born of God. This individual does not live or walk or practice in sin. He cannot. Cannot love and live in sin. A person who lives in sin constantly is not born again. I don't care how much they shout. I don't care how many miracles that they can happen. It might be a preacher, and he might preach angels down from heaven and preach hell so hot that you get burnt while you're sitting there. But if he lives in sin, he's not born again. Praise the Lord. You might scream to your horse every service. You might shout till you have to have a new pair of shoes after every service. But if you live in sin, you're not born of God. Well, praise the Lord. The Bible does not lie. That's right. Now, the point here is that John is wanting to emphasize is that a sinless parent does not reproduce by his nature a child that will sin every now and then, or a child that will live in sin. But if it is a sinless parent, if it is a sinless birth, it will produce a sinless child, which cannot have a nature to sin anymore. Praise the Lord. Notice now he said, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, or this is habitually sin, or deliberately sin, or live in sin. For his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. Now you imagine that John believed that people actually had the seed of God in them. I thought Brother Branham was someone who come up with that. You need to reread your Bible. Brother Branham never come up with that. It was God that came up with that. Right. Notice this in the token. There it is. It cannot perish now. The life lays over it. It's a token, and it lays over that little body. Now, this little something in you. It lays over the soul of that person. There is a token over there. The Holy Spirit, that it belongs to God. It's his. When I see the token, I'll pass over you. A positive token. The Holy Spirit is our token. Therefore, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you have have passed from death to life. That's all there is to it, because life is in you and you can no more perish. And the Bible said, he that is born of God does not commit sin, for he cannot sin, for the seed of God, amen, the seed of God remains in him. How can he sin when the sinless God is in him? When he's in a sinless God, how can he sin? No matter what he's done, the blood covered him. He's a new creature now. His desires and ambitions is of heaven. Oh, glory to God. That's the real you. That's the real son or daughter of God. Oh, praise the Lord. That one cannot sin. He's born of God. He will never relapse. Never relapse into unrighteousness. But this ain't saved. This ain't got the Holy Ghost. This is your enemy. Not mine, but yours. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Notice this. Now he has the principle, of course, the seed of God of divine life. Again, John says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus the Christ is born of God. Now listen, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Wow, so that means every denominational person and just every believer, so-called, of ever all the Christendom, all of them believe, because every Christian would believe that Jesus is the Christ. But let's look at this big, powerful word that John used. Amen, believeth. I love it myself. It means to commit unto. To commit to one's trust. Oh, you mean it's not then that intellectually I believe it with my mind, and then I go ahead and live my own life and do my own thing and do whatever I want to do. That is not a person that believes that Jesus is the Christ. Now, this is the way that it's interpreted, especially in this day of easy believism, but that's not what the Bible actually says. It said, whosoever believes or commits their life into the trust of him. So if he says, don't wear this, don't go there, don't do this, don't dress this way. If you really believe him, you trust him. But you cannot really believe him the way John said if you don't commit your life and your home and your habits and your music and everything that you do into his divine care. Then you just say you believe, but you really don't. Oh my, but one that really believes that Jesus is the Christ or the Christos. So it means to entrust a thing to one. His fidelity, to be entrusted with a thing. Now friend, right here is a real believer. Here is a real believer. You realize there's folks around the message that don't even do this. Oh, they believe in this and that and the other, and they believe in this doctrine and that doctrine. And when hell comes loose around their life, they fall all apart. They're ready to leave. They're ready to quit serving God. They're ready to quit doing this and that and the other. They don't trust him right. They don't trust him. You've got to trust him. It's not just when you understand things in your life, but it's you prove yourself when you don't understand what's going on. And you're doing the very best you know how to do. And you pray and it seems like God don't answer. And you cry out and it seems like the heavens is brass. And you keep pressing on anyhow. Why? Because you believe or trust in him. My, notice this. John goes on to say in verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Oh my goodness, how in the world is that possible? He keepeth himself? How in the world can you and I keep ourselves? No, it's not in the sense that we have the power, but a real Holy Ghost filled believer does their part in defending their walk with God. You see, there's just so much as your pastor I can do. There's just so much that the evangelists and the visiting ministers can do. And if you don't pray and read your Bible and have a daily walk with God, you are not going to be a victorious Christian. You can scream amen to what I say all you want to, but it ain't going to do you no good unless you do your homework. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your homework is living right, doing right, reading the word, praying. There you are keeping yourself. Oh my. Notice this. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself. So the believer defends himself by doing his part. Notice then John says, and the wicked one toucheth him not. Can you imagine? When God does his part, Brother Jim, and we do ours, the devil can't even touch you. I'm not sure you understand what touch means. To fasten oneself to cling to, of carnal intercourse with a woman or cohabitation. Why? The womb is closed. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. What does that mean? The devil, Brother Jim, can't touch our body? That's not what John said. Does that mean that we can't be depressed in our mind? That ain't what John said. But John said, if God does his part and you do yours, your womb is sealed. And the devil cannot, I don't care if mama goes away, daddy goes away, brothers go away, sister goes away. The womb of your seed is closed around the predestinated seed of life. And the devil cannot not break through to you. Oh, praise the Lord. Notice, I love this. I know you're familiar with this in Christ the Mystery. Christ is living through you, so pregnated with the Spirit that you're a prisoner to anything else. You're confined, oh my, to the gospel, confined to the word. All the children it can bring forth is that, because you're a prisoner. You can't commit adultery. He can lie to you. He can aggravate you. He can get you down. He can discourage you. But he can never get to the womb and the soul. Why? It's already sealed. He can't touch you. He might try. Oh, glory! He might try, and try he will. But the more he tries, the more determined we are. And it's not just our determination alone. God sealed your womb, your soul. Don't you appreciate that sense? You can't commit adultery. You're already pregnant. Glory. He can't take hold. The womb of life is closed to anything else. You're already his by predestination. Oh, glory. Brother Don, hit you never going to get off that. Never, never, never. The seed has come to life. No world can get in. Oh, we'd like to stay on that for about an hour. I'm sure you understand. See, Christ alone, his seed is already finished. The seed was there. The seed was already. When was it put there? Before the foundation of the world. Notice again in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, or is constantly overcoming. Now, if that means I'm constantly overcoming, that means I'm constantly fighting. If I'm constantly daily overcoming, then that means I'm constantly daily fighting the world. Well, you said, Brother Donnie, I don't drink. I don't fight no battle to drink. Is that all you think the world is? The world is not just drinking and smoking and marijuana. The world consists of pride, arrogance, gossip, Facebook, telephones, televisions, movies. On and on and on and on it goes. Oh my. So we are constantly, John said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, how do we get then this type of a faith? It must come from the very foundation of love. A love that actually does not strike you in the mature form when you are born again. As a matter of fact, this type of love is an enduring, ongoing love that is developed week by week, year by year. And many of us, oh my, many of us, it took us years and years to get to a spot that our love was so matured and grown in the Lord Jesus. We trusted Him above all other things. We trust Him beyond our feelings when we don't feel saved, when we don't understand this and that. Our mature love outweighs our misunderstanding. You see, this type of love cannot come as a gift. I love that woman right there more than I've ever loved her in my life. And I've been with her most of my life. Since we got married when we were 16 and we're 60. But I love her now more than I loved her when we got married. Could I understand that love then? I couldn't. If someone would have told me that when you get 60 years old, you'll realize how much you love her and how much you need her and how much that she has to be around you, how you depend on her. I say, really? Really? You mean more than now? I'm 16, then 17, then 18, then 19, and then 20. Really? I need her more? What brought that understanding to me as I grew and our love grew? Then I could understand. Same thing with serving the Lord. People come to God. Oh, my hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. That's wonderful to see, but that kind of love won't keep them. It's an initiating love that they're overwhelmed by forgiveness. They're overwhelmed by the pardoning grace of God. That kind of love won't keep them. They've got to learn how to love Him when they don't feel, oh, Jesus, Jesus. When you're still praying, you can't cry. You still read your Bible and you go to sleep. And you listen to tapes and you come to church and have to pinch yourself and pinch your wife to stay awake. But a real mature love is not something that can be taught. It is not something that can be gained from someone else. It's something you must learn and experience. Don't you see, friends, for those of you that were even saved and serving God, when Brother Branham was taken from the earth in 1965, you was not ready for no rapture. The bride was not ready for no rapture in 65, nor 75, nor 85, nor 95, nor 2005, and apparently not in 2016. But she might be in 2017. Who knows? Why? Now, do we need to have our hair longer, sisters? Is it we need to clean out our closet? Well, some of you may need to do that. But yet, that's not the main thing. It's us growing more and more. You see, the more we fall in love with Him, the more that love transcends our humanity and we become more into His image. A person who initially gets saved and they say, well, I'm going to try it out. I could probably live without God. I really don't have to have Him in all reality. I mean, I live many years of my life without God, but I'm going to give Him a try. I'm going to give Him a try and see if He'll help me. See what He'll do for me and my. See if He can make a difference in my life. Some of them start out and go well for a while, and sure enough, it wasn't exactly what they wanted, so they quit. But can you imagine a child of God born by the breaths of God, predestinated to eternal life, and they grow up into a mature love and God allows their world to be totally devastated? God will take friends. God will take loved ones. God will allow all kinds of things to happen around them and they're shook down to the very core. But that mature love, they look right back at Him and say, I love you anyhow. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I love you now more than ever. What's happened? Their love has matured. Oh, praise the Lord. You see, our friendship with Christ develops more deeply. How many folks, that's what happens to them. When they come to the Lord, they are a friend to the Lord Jesus. And that's basically what he is to them. And their comprehension that this friend saw them in debt and he paid them out of debt and he done them a great favor. But there's no way they can comprehend the depths of the love of God. Not a saint of God that's lived for the Lord and been through many things, and you look at him, brother, how are you? Doing great. Heard you lost your home, lost your goats, lost your cattle, lost your horses, lost your water, lost your wife, lost your kids, lost your insurance, lost this, lost every bit of it, but I ain't lost my salvation. Still got my joy in serving God. You say, wow, man, I want that. You'll never get it as a 6-month-old Christian. You'll never get it as a 3-month-old Christian. Your love must mature. That kind of love leads to this kind of love, victory, which leads to this kind of overcoming. Amen. Oh my, who is he that overcometh the world? In verse 5, John says, but he that believeth, notice again now, believeth, one who trusts. Can we commit our home to him? The way we dress, what we do, where we go, and completely trust him with it? Or do we reserve a portion of ourselves for our own personal management? That's somebody that ain't learned how to love him yet. Right. Now, we ultimately want to make the overcomer's gallery. Do we not? Now, the miracle gallery is fine and wonderful. I've seen many folks in that gallery never going to be bright. The healing gallery, all kinds of galleries we could name. But yet, only those who are overcomers in the church ages get the reward that's promised in every age. Now, it's not that I'm selfish or I'm hoggish. But I do want what's mine. And I'm born of God. And if I'm born of God, I'm born to be an overcomer. So I want an overcomer's reward. Why? Because you want to be a big shot? No, because I want the allocation that God's give to me. If I'm going to be born of God, I am going to overcome the world. And I want what is mine, because that he gave to me, not what I work for. Notice now, our brother Adam said, a man never knows what it is to live a victorious life until he's completely overcome. And then he says, who? And then he answers himself. Himself. That's the biggest enemy you got. Now y'all are nodding your heads, and you've nodded your heads for 30 years, because I've read this quote to y'all for about 30 years, some of you. And you've nodded your head and said, that's right. Amen. Yes, sir. Glory to God. Preach it, Brother Donnie. My wife need. I mean, I need it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But most of the time when people are going through things and they go to church and this and didn't speak to them and they didn't get to sing or this and that and the other, are they coming back to this quote and referencing and saying, but wait a minute, it's not my brother, it's not the church, the problem is me. Or did they, well, it's Jerry's fault. It's Brother Calvin. And Brother Calvin had done this and so and so. It's Louie. It's Louie. I know it's Louie. Instead of coming back and say, I am my greatest enemy. My pride, my arrogance, my temperament, my makeup. Well, hallelujah. I thought y'all be happy with having church tonight. I mean, I said that's the biggest enemy that you got is yourself. That's the reason you can't rise up in faith. My Lord, you mean me? I hinder me. That's the biggest enemy you got. That's the reason you cannot rise up in faith. Because you've got intellectuals there. Your intellectual part says, well, this or that. It's a reasoning. We got to cast down reasoning. The Bible tells us. So you mean I'm the one who keeps me from being closer to God. I'm the one that will keep me from getting healed. I'm the one that would keep me from getting the Holy Ghost or getting a deliverance or something in my life. You see, friends, it's not overcoming alcohol. You say, Brother Donnie, if all the alcohol was destroyed, I wouldn't fight this battle. Satan wouldn't move it from alcohol to something else. It's not cigarettes. It's not pornography. Or if it's smartphone. People was bothered with it before they got a smartphone. It's not that. It's learning how to overcome you. Get alcohol out of your life and get over the temptation of fighting alcohol, and you think the devil's going to go down in hell and just resign and say, well, I ain't going to be the devil no more. I'm going to quit. I reckon I'll get saved and start going to church too. I mean, they've all quit drinking now. They've all quit smoking. I ain't got nothing else to use against them. He's got 10,000 things of your own makeup. He don't need makeup. He's got our makeup. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. I'm with you, buddy. Now watch. In James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or different kinds of temptations. Now, what kind of strange man is this? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, it don't make patience, but it actually works patience. So you've got an initial dose, if I can say it that way, of patience when you receive the Spirit of the Lord, when you first become saved and converted. But like your love and your trust and your confidence and your assurance and so on, it is such a small portion of patience that it cannot endure very long without an instantaneous, miraculous answer to every prayer you pray. So if you need something and you pray it by 4 o'clock, you expect it by 4:15, at the latest 4:30. Certainly not 20 years at 4:30 later. I mean, you're expecting within a little bit, and God babies us and humors us, and God will do special things. Why? Because we know at that state in our walk with God, we need it. But you can tell a real mature person as they're growing in God because they will pray ever so sincere, and God will try them with not saying anything, much less a promising answer. Why? He's letting patience have her perfect work. And patience must be worked or tried. Praise the Lord. Now, in the sense, watch as James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So here is a parallel of two separate things that happens from one event. So the trying of your faith, God will allow a situation to come up and see if you'll believe the word, or will you take senses? Will you believe the word? Will you take emotions? Will you believe the word or believe what the doctor says? And your faith is tried, but when your faith is tried, you also, your faith is stronger. And with that package, it just comes stronger patience at the same time. Poor old dumb devil. He tries our faith, and God does a double whammy on him and gives us stronger faith and makes our patience better as well. At the same time, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her, notice the gender, patience is feminine. Let patience have her perfect work. Why? That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting or missing nothing. Now wait a minute, Brother Donnie, what about all the revelations and all the deep things? We believe in all that too. But if you don't have this, you still ain't perfected yet. Amen. Notice now, let patience have her perfect work. That is the full effect, or showing everything that is in patience. In other words, it's when we are tried and we are tested. It's not only testing our faith, it's testing our patience. How long can you wait? Can you wait 25 years? Now don't commit now if you can't. Praise the Lord. Can you keep on praying and keep on praising and keep on believing God? You've been believing for your health, believing for a job, believing for a loved one to be saved, and the more you pray, the worse they get. You still believing? You still got joy? Still believing God's going to do it? You say, why is God waiting? What in the world is God doing? Why don't God move on them? God may not be answering so much to them as he is working on you. And he's using this situation that your patience may be tried, and that your patience will come to its full end of maturity, that you will lack nothing. Amen. Oh my. Ain't this wonderful? Let patience nations have her perfect work. What is it? It's joy in bearing the cross. It is joy in dealing with the delay. It is joy in dealing with things when you do not simply just don't understand them. That you may be perfect and entire, which is fully developed in all the attributes that God has designed for the work of patience to be in us. Now you've heard, have you not heard of the patience of Job? That's well and good for Job's day, but have you heard of Donnie's? It's really good to refer back to Job's patience, but God's now working on mine. That's why he gave me some of you all. And God's working on yours. That's why he gave you me. That's why he gave you the woman that you got sitting by you. Don't worry, you don't have to say amen, brother. Just smile real funny. I know what you're talking about. That may be why God gave y'all some of the young ones you give, and this and that and the other. Why? Because they will try your patience worse than Trump himself. My, I love this. James goes on in verse 12. Blessed be the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Amen. I feel like having a happy dance about right now. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now listen, we're going to go into temptation and see where it comes from. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Now you realize if there was nothing left in our humanity or our mortality that inclined had carnal inclinations toward the world, there would be no temptation for any of us. Whether it be lying, drinking, gossiping, fearing, unbelieving, whatever it be. It's all of the world anyhow. Everything that's not of faith is of the world, of Satan. But unless there was something left in us that the new birth did not eradicate, and we know that it does take care of the soul and puts a divine nature replacement for the sin nature that was in us when we were born. But it does not annihilate the flesh.
Uh-oh, some of y'all got quiet on me now.
Now I know some of y'all think your flesh got the Holy Ghost, but that's teachings of the devil. That ain't scripture and it ain't message. I just read to you the prophet of God said your flesh is your enemy. If your flesh got the Holy Ghost, it should be your buddy. You shouldn't have no problem with your flesh. If it's born again and got the Holy Ghost, you got two on your side now. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, Jesus. Now what? Every man then is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now look at this today. I found this was pretty amazing. That it is a double metaphor that James uses here. The first is referring to the dragging of a fish out of the water by a hook that he swallowed. And the second is because the bait was concealed. Now this is the double metaphor that is used by this word. So every man then is tempted when his own lust, something in his own lust catches a hold to something, and then Satan will bait the hook and your own weakness and your mortality will go toward that. Now with some it's pride. With some it's they've constantly got to be bragged on. I'm going to leave cigarettes alone tonight and alcohol alone and marijuana, and I'm going to get down to where some of you saints live. Some of you folks have to be bragged on all the time. You have to be told how good you are and how important you are. You know what that is? It's your old stinking flesh. You ain't going to no rapture till you die to that thing. You're worshiping your own self. You got to be praised. You got to be adored. You got to be loved to the high heavens. Don't love that old enemy of yours. It is your enemy. Don't baby that thing and pet that thing. That thing will take you to hell if you let it. Your flesh don't love you. It's not your friend. Some of you don't have to be petted, but you're worry warts. You worry about everything. You worry about the flu. You worry about
taxes. You worry about the government. You worry about this and that and the other. And live a life of fear. What's going to happen, Brother Donnie? What's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know in that kind of fear, you'll bring more your way than God ever intended for you to have. Your fear will bring it to you. The prophet said the very reason Job went through some of the stuff that he did, his own fear brought it to him.
You've done it to me again, sir. You keep getting me in trouble, man, Carol's going to be out on the street. Oh my. Now the second part of this metaphor is temptation by women. Enticements of impure women. Oh dear God, the women didn't even breathe. Nobody said nothing. You see, lust is the principal part of the corrupt flesh, which has not yet been converted. Now some of y'all wishing I'd speed up to about 78 speed right now. I'd say, oh no, I'm in 16 right now. We're going to labor with this a little while. Woo! The source and fountain of all temptation is from within ourselves. You see, this is why folks look at, oh, if I could overcome this. It's not that. If you can master this, it makes no difference what comes up out there. And the truth of it is, most of us have not learned to master it yet. Donnie Reagan included. I'm working on it, and I'm going to. Come on now, don't sit there and look at me like a bunch of angels. I could go home with you and ask your kids, Steph, they'd tell me. You know how kids are. Oh, Lord. You see, it's from some lust or some desire or some inclination in the part that is left unconverted. As I said, with some, it's worrying. It's a strain in their family. They just worry about everything. And if something happens in their nature, in their mind, they always make it worse and bigger than it is. And some people don't worry about nothing. They don't even care. Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. I can't pay my bills no way, so let's go down and have a Dollywood weekend. What difference does it make? That's worldly. That's not facing your responsibility. It's a sane, sensible person. That's worldly. Well, glory. Was that loud noise? I heard clicks on the internet. Click, click, click. Folks clicking off out there. Now watch. Let's read here in Numbers chapter 11, verse 4. The children of Israel and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again. Now notice how that Moses, by inspiration, separates this company that is traveling along with the elect. And he calls them a mixed multitude. Now we've been through this before. But there was Egyptians that come out. There was Phoenicians that come out of the land of Egypt. There was different people that actually left in the Exodus that were not Israelites. Praise the Lord. Now, those folks were the ones that got to lusting. And then that influence. You see, this is why it's so careful that we must be so careful, rather, with the people that we fellowship with and the people that we hang around. You parents, watch your kids and who they fellowship with and see if the child they're with or the kids they're with are changing your kids. If they are, you better stop them, lest they change them over. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. Why? Because there is great power. Now notice this mixed multitude was very, very small in number, but they had a great influence upon the children of Israel. So they go to lusting. My, my. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel.
the children of Israel, not to mixed multitude, but the mixed multitude had this influence on the children of Israel. And the children of Israel wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? What's wrong with wanting quail? Fried quail, cooked quail, quail and dumplings, quail sandwich, quail meatloaf. What's wrong with wanting quail? Now they lusted for a bird. Notice how lust can come. God had them on a manna diet. Now God is a balanced God. No doubt he knew they needed protein, Brother Jim, and he would have given it to them at his own time. But they run right ahead of the plan of God, and instead of being thankful and grateful for the manna diet that they had, Lord, oh, we just trust you, God. We know you're going to bring us to this. I know you're going to take care of us, Father, because you're a loving, wonderful Father. You're going to give us carbohydrates and niacin and ribothiamine and all these sort of things because you're a loving God. But instead of doing that, they said, we want meat. They was not asking for it in a nice way. They were lusting. Wow. So you can lust after life's natural provisions. The longer I go, the quieter you get. The quieter you get, the longer I'm going to go. Psalms 106 verse 14. But lusted. Notice now, they didn't just lust. They lusted exceedingly. In the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And notice then what they go to say. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers. Listen, they're describing a Ryan's or a Golden Corral buffet. God's got them on this certain diet. But they're in a mood for a buffet. Look at all the stuff they're describing. We remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers, the melons. Look how much more balanced Egypt fed them than God. God kept giving them the same thing over and over and over and over. Egypt gave them fish and gave them leeks and gave them melons and gave them onions. They had salad. They had seafood. They had steak and turf and surf and turf. And they had hot dogs and hamburgers. What's the matter with you, God? Oh, my. We remember the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks. And the onions and the garlic. Man, I can just taste it now. That fillet of sole. I'd lay it over on the fire. I'd grind up a little bit of onions. Cook some of them leeks on the side. We'd have melon for dessert. Remember it, honey. I remember. Remember on Saturday night when we used to stay home and watch We Love Lucifer. I mean, We Love Lucy. Who ever heard of having church on Saturday night? Remember we used to go out and get drunk and run around? Is that what you want? Isn't it amazing they could remember this food? Is there anybody among them that remembers the stripes? Is there anybody among them that remembers their wives being taken by the Egyptians and molested and their kids killed? Is there anybody that remembers that? Don't you see what happens to people when they go to lusting for things they shouldn't have? It's like the blessing of God is no value no more. And the world is everything and pleasure is everything. There's something wrong somewhere. Now they compare that. Look in verse 6. Now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this message. Hallelujah. I mean, I know I'm weird. All right? I know I'm weird. It's okay if y'all say amen. I know I'm weird. I just cannot imagine slicing an Egyptian onion and putting it on a Malachi 4 dinner. I just can't imagine taking, you know what leeks are, big old onion looking things. I just cannot imagine taking an Egyptian denominational leek and putting it on side of Malachi 4 steak. I just can't imagine the revealed lamb of the hour being seasoned with the salt from Egypt or the pepper from Egypt. Oh, come on, children, don't get upset at me now. I don't need a lot of these guys out here with their seasoning on for this hour. The bride needs a revival, Brother Donnie. I'll tell you where the bride's going to get her revival. It's going to be right in the Word, friends. We don't need a bunch of these chickens out here to come among us and let them get us all worked up in a bunch of motion. Our revival to change our body is going to be feeding on the message of the hour, not seasoned with Egyptian onions and leeks and fish. Our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this man before our eyes. Psalm 78, 17, they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God, notice where? In their heart. By asking meat. Notice now how David says this. Not for their satisfaction and appetite, but for their lust. Come on, children. I'll tell you one thing. I've seen many, many folks around this message. I've seen a few in this church. They're not satisfied just working an average everyday job, you know, be it this, that, and other, maybe the avenue that God gifted them. But they want to have more and more and more and more. Many of you got into business, you had no business belonging in the first place because you ain't got the makeup, you ain't got the know-how and the sense to even do it. You'd be better off living in a single wide trailer stuck up on the side of a hill with three or four nanny goats and a half a dozen chickens to be in the will of God than you would be have your mind so caught up on money and cheating and running around and trying to do this, that, and other and miss church. So get quiet on me, Happy Valley. We'd be better off spiritually if we lived in a tent up in a mountain somewhere and have the blessing of God on our life than worried about money and worried about material things and a bigger house and a bigger car and more this and that and the other. What is it? We're lost in actual things that we don't even need to have in the first place. Instead of finding God, what do you want me to be? We sell our birthrights. Can't you see, friends? The fish was not evil. The leeks, the onions, the melons. The source of the evil was their own hearts. Let me tell you something. This ain't just so with business folks. This is so with singers. Preachers. Preachers get jealous of one another. They want to be like this man. And be, this man went on the internet. I want to do it. Call so-and-so. I want to be this. We ought to be what God made us to be. Forget trying to be like everybody else. Well, so-and-so's doing this and so-and-so. Forget what so-and-so's doing. You find what God wants you to do. Oh, Lord Jesus. So then they started entertaining hard thoughts against God. By asking meat for their lust. Verse 19, yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God? Furnish a table in the wilderness? Where do you bunch of knuckleheads figure you're getting that manna at? I'd like to ask them. Come on now, is there a Kroger around there that's manna people? Is there an IGA or a Walmart that's sending down your buggy loads of manna every day? The Lord God was the one furnishing that table. But look how their hearts is going, Brother Jim. Can God? Sure God can. It ain't a problem with God doing it, is it for your best? You see, the problem, friends, they was not satisfied with the provision that God made for them. They wanted more.
This is where so many preachers around this message have gotten trouble. They cannot be satisfied just saying what the prophet said. They've got to have their own revelation that's a little bit beyond what Brother Branham said. That way all the rest of us have to go to them. Don't you understand? It's the same thing in every move. Every move that's been around this message is the very same thing. They have to have some type of special revelation that's different than everybody else. That way every other preacher, every other church has to look to them. Hogwash and nonsense. Lie of the pits of hell. God never sent me. God never sent another preacher to correct the prophet of God. God never sent another preacher to go above the prophet's revelation. And notice what God done. Verse 27. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. He let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. Josephus says in some places it's 3 foot deep. Y'all wanted quail? Here you go. Can it, fry it, deep freeze it, cook it, reboil it, microwave it? It's yours. My friends, this is dangerous. You see, when folks go, oh God, I want, and then the things go, oh glory to God, hallelujah. Watch it. It don't necessarily, that's going to be for your good. It may be the very thing that will destroy you. God help us, Lord. Oh my. He let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitation, so they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them, notice, their own desire. When you're praying for money, you're praying for a better job, praying for this, that, and other, always pray this way. Lord, if you can trust me with it. As long as it won't hinder me, Lord. But Brother Donnie, that's not what I hear all these radio preachers saying. Are them radio preachers your pastor, or am I? You have to make up your mind. You want to follow these guys? Go ahead. They'll lead you to the tribulation period. Or you can be anything you want to be. That's one of the biggest lies the devil ever told you. You don't want to be what you want to be. You want to be what God wants you to be. Even around this message, we got preachers standing there preaching that garbage from the pits of hell. Oh, tell your children they can be whatever they want. Why would you want to lie to them and damn their souls? Teach your children they need to seek God about their vocation. They're not their own. They're not their own choice. Your life don't belong to you. My life don't belong to me. I belong to God, and so do you. Notice, God gives them their desire. They were not estranged from their lust. So now God gives them what they want, rains it everywhere. But their lust is still not satisfied. They're not separated from their lust. Their lust has not been answered. They wanted it, God gave it to them, and wouldn't you know it, they're still not satisfied. But while their money, while their houses, while their cars was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came on them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Getting in trouble, lusting over groceries. Can I go on a few more minutes? Thank you. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old, and he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, which is money, and took bribes and perverted judgment. You mean to tell me a prophet of God's sons? I thought all the prophets' families were saved. Where'd you hear that lie? Uh-oh, read your Bible. Do you understand one of the excuses that Israel used for wanting a king was the failure of the prophet's sons? Who are you saying that to? You, you're here. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and to Ramah. And said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us. Like all the denominations or nations. Your sons ain't going right that off on the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. We need somebody to lead us. We want a king. We want to be like everybody else. The prophet of God said we need men that will come to the pulpit like thunderbolts and preach and give you enough spanking when you need it and love you when you get done. Oh my, but the folks in this day, they want a, you know, some type of great, great man that's an orator. They want a man that is a king in a sense, and they want a man with such charisma, and he can burn their hat, and they don't even know it because he's using such long words, and they just sit there and smile and think it's so wonderful. But God says, that ain't what I want for my kids. I want men that'll drag that sword out and whoop themselves and whoop their young'uns at the same time. Yes, they'll whoop every preacher in the building. They'll wear out every deacon. They'll wear out every trustee. Yeah. Praise the Lord. What's Israel doing? Last day. God was their king. But they lusted. Lusted. Notice, not after women, not after drinking. They lusted for the wrong position at the wrong time. God was going to give them a king. But this was not the right time. Give me a few more minutes. The thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken to the voice of the people. You mean God will actually give you what he knows is against his will for your life? Mama, for they have not rejected thee. No doubt Samuel is feeling this feeling, Brother Terry, of being rejected. God said, oh no, they've not rejected you. They have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works that they've done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt unto this day, where they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Were they lusting? They want to be like everybody else. Well, they come among all these people, and everywhere they go, they'd see a palace and they'd see a king. They help kill a bunch of these kings. And they take their crowns off. Well, they ain't got no head to put no crown on. But what are they led by? They're led by this man that stays hid out there, and he comes stomping out of the wilderness every now and then. Thus saith the Lord, you do this and you do that, and you go here and you go there, and you go down there and kill this bunch of people. And he gets down and he goes stomping back in the wilderness, and they come back and say, that ain't what we want. We want us something. We want us some fine, educated, cultured guy that'll stand up there, mind, pack out our church or the office bunch of people ever was. I'd rather have a man that can pack out the church of the pillar of fire. I'd rather have a man that can bring the presence of God down among the people than pack it out with a bunch of hypocrites. Oh my, but they said we want to be like everybody else. We want to be like all the big churches. God said, go ahead and give it to them. They've lusted after it. Give it to them. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be, like all the denominations. Now, to them, it was nations in that day. Today, it's denominations. Don't you understand, friend, all these moves around the message, don't you see what it's been? The king over Perugia.
The king over two soul. The king over two Lord. The king over return. The king. Don't you see what it's been? Every one of them points to a man. And the message people have rallied around this man and that man and that man and that man. You know why? They've never really recognized who the Messiah is.
Amen.
They're looking for some preacher somewhere that's more gifted. A preacher ain't your Messiah. Christ is.
Amen.
Christ, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is your Messiah. But people all give us a king. Give us a king that'll rule over the two soul. Give us a king that'll rule over Perugia. I don't want no king myself. I've got the greatest king a man could have. King God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. King Jesus, King Theophany. Oh my. That we may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us. And may go out before us and fight our battles. So we can all get behind him and, man, have our little flags and have our little banners. Well, who was doing this before? God. When the priests would take the Ark of the Covenant and the invisible presence of God was taking the wheels of chariots off. The invisible presence of God was sending hornets down. The invisible presence of God was shaking the foundation of it. Oh, hallelujah. Of the walls around Jericho. But they didn't like the invisible power. They wanted something they could see. Somebody to judge them. Somebody to go out before them. And they could all rally around this man. Oh, my. And Samuel heard all the words of the people and he rehearsed them into the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. And their first king is a perfect reflection of what they have just done. Stubborn, hard-headed, rebellious. He was the epitome of their choice. Don't you understand from where, why our nation is where she is today? Our rulers, our senators, our government, all it is. Don't you understand? It's because America turned down God's word. To me, it's a wonder we're still afloat anyway after 1956. If it wasn't for the salt on the earth here, it should be a mess. Wait till God takes the salt. Oh my. Don't you love the Lord?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Oh, I want to overcome. I am an overcomer. But I want to be more of an overcomer. How many feels that way tonight in your heart? Not things. Not things. But me. Me. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. I know it's not been deep and profound, and we've not been held spellbound by such mysteries. But it's right down where we live, Lord. This will make us overcomers. Lord Jesus, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl. You know every heart. You know the things that they deal with, the besetting sins or the weaknesses, the frailties in their flesh, the human makeup. I pray, Father, you'd help each of us. If we could just simply believe, if we never got anything out of the service tonight except for that one quote the prophet said, and we could truly realize it, our greatest enemy is ourself. And we'll never know what it's like to live a victorious life until we overcome ourselves. Then, Lord, people can say what they want. They can do what they want. It will affect us, certainly. But it will not control us. Even you were affected by the way people acted when you were here. Brother Bram told us that when they came and against you that one time, and you, your face turned red, it's as if though you were embarrassed. You were moved by things that was around you, but it never controlled you.
When the Pharisees said things to you and you answered them back, and it seems as if those, some of those things are quite sharp. But yet we know that you never answered them in temper. You never answered them in anger. And Lord, that's hard for us sometimes. When people lie on us and say things against us, it's hard for us to not justify ourselves. Especially in this age of social media. If people say things about us, we want to take to our Facebook page, or we want to go to YouTube, and we want to spend all this time justifying ourselves, which is the exact opposite of what you've done. When you stood there in Pilate's hall and they lied on you, they fabricated all kinds of things. We heard this man say he'd destroy the temple and build again in 3 days. We heard this man say this, and this man said that. This man said something else. Most of what they said that day was lies. And you never said one thing to correct it. Lord, that's hard on us. But I really believe in order for you to be the high priest of our feelings, it was hard on you as well. But you refuse to allow them to control your temperament. Lord, we all need help. We admit it. We confess it to you tonight. We need your help, Lord Jesus, to overcome. Not overcome the person who's talking about us. Not overcome the person who rattles our chain, as it were. But overcome this person right here. Then, Lord, we'll look at him and we'll feel sorry for him and realize it's the devil that got on that person, because only the devil would know what damage that would do to me. Then it makes us feel sorry for them to know that they've yielded their instruments as instruments of unrighteousness. Help us, Lord. We cannot help the temperament that we're born with. We cannot help the makeup that we have. For those who worry, they cannot help that part. For those who don't worry, that seems to be so free of everything, in that sense, they can't help it. But they can discipline themselves by the indwelling presence of God. And that's what we all want. The checks and balances of our life. To where we're pleasing to you, Lord. Lord Jesus, begin with me tonight, would you, Lord? Help me. There's no perfect human makeup. The greatest preachers in this message are still left with humanity. And they still live in an unconverted human temple. Some of them battle pride. Some of them may battle arrogance. Some may battle not being as well known as another. And all kinds of things we can all go through. We all need your help, Lord. Move among us tonight, would you, Lord Jesus? Praise be to God. We raise our hands up in your presence. We've been to the doctor's office tonight. And we've let the doctor take his book and diagnose our case. And he's pointed out some things to us that's a little bit embarrassing, maybe. And a little bit humiliating. But we believe the doctor wants to help us. And the doctor wants to administer healing. The right kind of medicine. We know that's your word, Dr. Jesus. Help us tonight, Lord. Help me, Father. Help every minister here. Every one of your men of God around the world that will shun fame, fortune, women, pride, arrogance. Will shun wanting to be king of a group. They will always want to be humble servants, Lord. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, help us to crucify ourselves. To get rid of stubbornness, hard-headedness, inferiority complexes, whatever that we have, Lord, help us to overcome. Grant it, Lord Jesus. We want to leave this world, Lord, as overcomers. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many loves him? Look this way. How many wants to be an overcomer? A truck driver drove up in mine and Carol's neighborhood the other day after I'd left for the burial. Sister Sharon made a delivery at my house. Started talking to him for just a minute, talking to him about the Lord. So he started asking me. I said, I've been to a funeral. He said, oh, does the Lord give you things specially for people? So that's where the conversation opened up. We started talking about overcoming. I sit out there by my driveway talking to that man, what was it, Carol, 30, 45 minutes, something like that. That man weeping and crying. trying to understand how to overcome. He made the right delivery that day. He said, you know, my pastor's been real busy. He said, I hadn't talked to him. He said, but God made a way. He sent you my way today. Now, that man may not be bright. He may or may not be. Who knows? Whether or not you like it, whether or not you understand it, God is concerned for people, even if they're foolish virgins. I'll help somebody if they're foolish virgin, if they're Jew, if they're Babylonian, if they're Gentile. It don't matter a difference to me. Look, friends, we all need to know. We all need to know how to overcome. Don't you want to overcome? Who, Brother Dottie? What? You. You. Me. My focus is me. Me. I used to think years ago, God sent people under my ministry. Boy, God sent them there for me to help them. Oh, God, help me to endure it. Help me to endure it, Lord. I'm trying to help this person. Help me, God, not to load that shotgun. Please, God, give me patience. Then somewhere along the journey, I begin to wonder and think, maybe they were not sent for me to help them. But they might have been sent for God somehow to turn that around and help me. Because a lot of them people that have been that way are no longer here. And most of them who are that way are worse off today than they ever was. But by God's grace, I'm a better person. You know people that way in your life. People that's come by and they've done this and that and the other and they move on. And you go right on and you're a better child of God. And they're in worse shape than they've ever been in their life. He alone, friends, knows how to mold and make and shape each one of us. Praise God. Can we offer a word of prayer for one another? There is no telling what that person standing beside you brought in on their heart tonight. No telling the news they heard today or this week or the burdens that they feel so much on them. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You believe that? Yes. Sister Teresa Vess, I hope they don't mind me telling this. She had going to have a surgery this week for something going on in her body, and they went in laparoscopic. They wasn't able to move it because the growth thing that was there was so large. And the doctor said, we're going to have to take part of the bowel of the colon, go have to do this and that and the other. So they started contacting people to pray. I contacted a bunch of my preacher buddies, and people started praying. And the doctor testified and come back out and said they'd never seen anything like it in their life. Something moved inside of her body and made a way for them to go down inside there and get that. Our God is a mighty God. I love it when God makes doctors testify of His power. Amen. Don't you? That same God is mindful of your need tonight. Don't pray for yourself now. That person standing by you is praying for you. Lord Jesus, we want to bring our brothers and sisters before the throne of grace. Lord, we don't want to limit it just to this visible audience, but I pray for those that have streamed tonight, those that will go back in archive, wherever they are around the world. May the Spirit of God minister to your children, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, the holy presence of God would go to each heart. You know, Lord, whether it's cancer, whether it's sickness or disease or problems in their homes or financial or whatever it is, God, you know. Lord, you're the only one that can custom make every child of God to make them what they need to be. Oh, Father, I wouldn't want your job for nothing in the world, but you're well equipped to do it. So you can mold and make and shape each one of us into that which is needful. Father, I pray if we've asked for things that are beyond our capacity, forgive us, Lord. Oh, God, help me to be careful, Lord. Oh, Jesus, oh, God, help me that I don't ask for a vocation or a position even in the Word beyond what I'm able to attain. Lord, help me to stay right where you've called me, Lord. I know I'm classified as being simple and not very deep.
I know I'm classified around the message as not being a very great preacher, but if that's what you want me to be, let me be happy with it, Lord. I'd rather be that than get out of the will of God and get into a big mess. Just help me to be what you want me to be. It matters not whether I'm important or famous or whatever more. Lord, let me be in your will. Help every man, woman, boy, and girl. I pray for the young people of this assembly. Lord, I know they must fight all kinds of things as they go to school and college, as they face on their job. I pray you'd help the young men. Help our young sisters, Father, that they can be able to withstand the powers of darkness as it comes against them. I pray for the young men. I pray for the married men, for the married women. And then, Lord, I pray for the older ones, Lord. All stages of life as we stand here tonight, I pray for those that are shut-ins, Lord. And can't come to the house of God. May the Holy Ghost move right now in the homes, Lord, as they've got their heads bowed. May the Holy Spirit go right there, Lord, and minister to their needs. Lord God, we're needy people. We call upon your name tonight, Lord. We ask you for your help, your guidance, Lord Jesus. Help us not to ask for things according to our lust. Help us not to ask for things beyond our capacity, Lord. But may we walk exactly where you've called us to be. May we be satisfied. Father, may we be happy with what you've allocated to our life, not lust for another man's position. Oh my, we emphasize so much about lusting for another man's wife or another man's car, but Lord, help us to realize there's more to it than that. May we be what you want us to be and nothing more, nothing less, oh God. Grant it, I pray, Father. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, if we've done wrong, God, if we've asked or done in any way more than what you wanted us to have, God, forgive us, I pray. Help us, Lord Jesus, that we can be satisfied, as Paul has said, I'm learning whatever state I'm in, that there was to be content. Help us, God. We know it's a spirit of Laodicea to want and want and want and want. Oh, God, forgive us, Lord. Help us to be your people. Not to be worldly minded, not to be things of this world minded, but to be heavenly minded, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we just worship him tonight, saints? Whatever you need. Whatever you need, whatever you need now, not your wants so much, not things that, well, I don't really have to have, but what you need tonight from God. God, you know what I need. Lord, help my needs. Help me in my desires to line up with the appropriate approach to my needs, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name tonight, Lord. You are worthy, Heavenly Father. We glorify you, Lord God. We want to be overcomers. Father, we want to look down that gallery and find our picture, as it were, hanging on the wall. We don't want to see a little baby-fied Christian that could not be tested, that could not be tried, but we want to see a son or daughter of God that could be brought through storms, trials of life. Patience was tried until it was perfect. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we worship you, Lord. We praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your kindness and your mercy to us, Lord. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name, Lord. Can we just worship him together now a little bit? Maybe you're going through an awful time in your life. Terrible trial, whatever more it is. Why don't you praise him right in the midst of that trial? Don't wait till you come out on the other side. Praise him while you're right in the middle. Brother Donnie, I'm facing things. I don't know what to do. Well, praise him that he's going to help you to know what to do. He's going to give you direction. Water that promise with your praise. God, I believe you. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on. Lord, I feel so depressed in my spirit. I don't know what in the world is going on, but you're my deliverer, Lord. You're my healer, Father. I don't believe you always want me to remain this way. Just bless his name and praise him. Praise God. We worship you, Lord. Oh, bless your name tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being mindful of us. Lord, I know this has been a little scorching, a little cutting tonight, but I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it. I believe it's just what we needed tonight, Lord. You know how to give manna. You know how to give protein, carbs. You know how to give whatever we need. I believe tonight was what we needed to just stir us up a little bit, Father. Thank you for your word, Lord. Oh, praise be to God. We bless your holy name tonight, Lord. Thank you for loving us so much that you whip us a little bit when we get out of line and you correct us because you love us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now you sing something. Let's worship the Lord just a little bit, can we? Can we just worship him just a little bit before we go? Oh my, don't you love him, friends, with all your heart? Have you been serving him long enough that you know he's going to be with you? He's going to help you. Your love matured into a trust and a value to where you know that you can trust him even when you don't understand what's going on. My, it may took your wife, took your daughter, took your husband. Things have happened. You say, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand it, Lord. But you know he's mindful. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Even when I don't understand it, I trust you. He knows what he's doing. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We worship you tonight, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We bless your name. Yes, Father.
Dear Lord.
Amen. Let's sing it together.
Whatever.
Whatever, Lord.
Wherever. It may be.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
Cause I know that you
know
what's best, my Lord.
Bones. We know our God is more powerful than cancer. We all know we're going to leave this world somehow. We all wish we could lay down and go to sleep, but it doesn't always work that way. But this is the way we approach it. This is general orders. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name they'll cast out devils. Now, if God's going to take our sister, then we accept that as a command from God that fits in the confines of general orders. But we're not just going to lay down and accept everything the devil brings our way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you see the diagnosis of the doctors. Lord, we're grateful. We are thankful for tests and this and that doctors can do. Lord, for the different drugs and radiation and whatever more. But yet, Father, our care, our life, our soul is not in the hands of doctors. It's in your hands. Lord Jesus, our sister came and sat tonight sick and in pain. Wasn't even sure if she could endure the service and be able to wait till the preaching was over. But Lord, she sat there and waited patiently because she wanted to be prayed for tonight, Lord. Heavenly Father, then we want to bring her before your throne, dear God. Cancer, oh sure, it's a thing when we hear it said, but yet, Lord, the prophet said if the doctors told us we had cancer, if we didn't fear it, it couldn't hurt us. So, Lord, we believe our lives are in your great plan. And if it's her time to go, then we'll rejoice at her departure. But if not, there ain't enough devils in hell that can take her. So, Lord, we want to join our faith with our sister tonight. In general orders, we lay our hands on her and we ask for the mercy of God to come to our sister. Lord Jesus, may you touch her tonight, Father. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, it's written in your word. Oh, hallelujah. If any two on earth agree as touching one thing, it'll be done. These are your words, Father. There's people all over the world that's been healed with cancers and tumors and all kinds of things. This is nothing, Lord, that you can't touch tonight. Father, move for our sister, we pray. We commit it to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Here's your prayer clause. Love you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Bram said, people are so scared in this age. They're so afraid. And he said, a Christian isn't even afraid of death. You talking about something. I mentioned here the other night, Sister Sharon Service. You talking about what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Emperors. I've read many, many life statements and words of many famous, famous people. Just so I could see, what do they say? Many people died, they died drunk, they died doped up, so you can't really get their last words. But before all this stuff was around, and hear people's last words. Some of Napoleon's last words that the man said on the earth was not about how great he was, his kingdom. But he went on and on and on about Jesus Christ. Even to his guards and the people around him when he was banished, they thought he lost his mind. What kings and rulers and monarchs have said when death's come moving in. The wealthiest people in the world give all their money to buy another hour of life. And there may be a little child of God so poor they ain't hardly got enough money to even get by. And death comes knocking on their door and they come and say, come on, take me across. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Well, if death don't scare us, cancer shouldn't. If death don't scare us, high blood pressure shouldn't. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, you said they lost out to cancer. Sister Sharon lost to cancer. She never done no such a thing. When it come time for Sister Sharon to cross over, what happened to that cancer in her body? It died. She never. She never. She is alive tonight. But what happened to that cancer? It died. So who lost the battle? Cancer. Glory. A child of God don't lose the battle. Praise God. Amen. Friends, we're more than conquerors.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Brother Louie, come up here and sing that little victory song for us you were singing a while ago. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Brother Bram said, we see apostolic times moving among us. But we want to see more of it. You believe what you want to believe. People's going to come and go and do what they're going to do. I believe we're going to see a mighty God among us before we leave this world. It ain't going to be on a show. It ain't going to be on a display. It ain't going to be magnified this man or that man or another man. It's going to be to magnify the Lord God. Glory be to God. Cancer will be healed. Believe what you want. Laugh at me and ridicule me and make fun. One day the dead will be raised. Absolutely. We already see it happening in different parts of the world. Praise be to God. Oh, Brother Donnie, is it a repeat of Pentecost? It's a repeat of God. It ain't a repeat of Pentecost. Pentecost, oh no, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about getting you ready to leave this world. Hallelujah to God. A mighty God in our midst, friend. He ain't dead. He ain't just a bunch of words. He is a living, resurrected Christ.
Oh, we're gonna make this journey, son.
Hallelujah.
We're gonna make this journey.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Oh, we're the bride of Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, this journey somehow. We're gonna make this journey somehow. The devil is on our tracks. He's trying to turn us back. But we're gonna make this journey somehow. Oh, we're gonna make this journey somehow. Yes, we're gonna make this journey somehow. We're the bride of Christ, ordained to eternal life. And we're gonna make this journey somehow. Oh, we're gonna make this journey somehow. We're gonna make this journey somehow. You're the bride of Christ, ordained to eternal life. And you're gonna make this journey somehow. Oh, we're gonna make this journey somehow. We're gonna make this journey somehow. The devil is on our track. He's trying to turn us back, but we're gonna make this journey somehow. Let the Lord bless your soul right now. Let the Lord bless your soul right now. Don't put off till tomorrow what you should do today. Let the Lord bless your soul right now. Oh, let the Lord bless your soul right now. Let the Lord bless your soul right now. Don't put off till tomorrow what you should do today. Let the Lord bless your soul right now. God bless you right now. Right now. Oh, right now. Yes, right now. Don't put off till tomorrow what you should do today. Let the Lord bless your soul right now. Oh, we're gonna make this journey somehow. We're gonna make this journey somehow. We're the bride of Christ. We have eternal life. We're gonna make this journey somehow. We're gonna make this journey somehow. We're gonna make this journey somehow. We're the bride of Christ, ordained to eternal life. We're gonna make this journey somehow. Let the Lord bless your soul right now. Let the Lord bless your soul right now. Don't put off till tomorrow what you should do today. Let the Lord bless your soul right now.